Podtacular episode 346, Bulletin Update for February 14th, 2013. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm.
And I'm your other host, Brent Gamer.
And we are here on Valentine's Day. Yay! All you lucky couples and lovers out there, I'm sure you are out having a wonderful time doing it, whatever it is you do. Meanwhile, Brent and I are sitting here recording being single, all that good jazz, talking about our true love, Halo.
I want to be all by myself.
That's all right. we got each other. We got the Chief. We got Cortana. We got Lasky. We got Palmer. We got whoever else you can put in some strange, I want to say, love triangle.
Yes, we have true love in the form of fictional characters.
So
fictional characters, they'll never hurt us. They'll never cheat on us. They'll never break our hearts. Well, Cortana might have broken your heart.
Yeah, a little bit.
But not intentionally.
No. It wasn't her choice. No. Anywho, we are talking
Palmer
about...
might have broken your heart.
Who?
Think about it. Palmer.
I mean, it depends. It depends on what your opinion of her is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like... I don't know. Just thinking about what she did to Halsey. You know, just following orders. You would expect her to be more independent, I guess.
So I was having this conversation with a couple of friends I frequently play with online about Palmer and what she's doing and following orders for going and killing Halsey and whatnot. If you look at the behavior of the Spartan 2s, they were kind of very similar to how Palmer is acting right now. They didn't really question their orders. They went out and executed it regardless of kind of the consequences and without taking really thought into effect of what it actually meant. And there's also the bit where she's kind of more on Oni's side. I forget where I saw this, but I think even in the debrief of the War Games, it says that Spartan Palmer is with Oni. So yeah, there's probably some Oni influence, and Oni really hates Halsey right now. They've kind of put out this, not public propaganda, but within kind of the ranks of the UNSC and Oni, they've really turned a really sour taste on the name of Halsey. So everyone's pretty much out to get her if she's doing anything really weird. And while Halsey has kind of humanity in mind, Oni certainly doesn't think that. And of course, Oni wants kind of control over everything. And Halsey is kind of trying to break free from that control and just better humanity as a whole instead of just looking at superiority in the immediate future. And we even see this in Spartan Ops episode, what is it, 6 in the cinematic? Where Halsey is like, the UNSC acts like children at play and they're really only focused kind of on the here and now instead of looking at the bigger picture. So Halsey's,
but I mean, Halsey's made some mistakes too.
Yeah, but look what she's done with the Spartan program.
You could question whether Halsey's motives are ultimately for humanity or for herself. There's a case to be made that Halsey is a narcissist.
True, but I think we know from...
working towards her own ends.
Right, but I think if you really read the books, get into the deep character aspect of her, you kind of tend to see the side of her that while she does do some really morally questionable things, the reasons she's doing them is always kind of comes around to being justified as it's for the betterment of humanity as a whole.
But I'm saying even a narcissist will be able to kind of justify things that they've done, saying it was for a greater good, even if secretly, deep down, it was for themselves.
Well, so they even brought it up in the books where, she even admits to herself, some of the stuff that she did, especially when she started the Spartan program, and that was even directed by Oni, for her to start the Spartan 2 program. So it's this whole kind of twist of events where Oni orders Halsey to do this, and then they kind of turned a blind eye towards it. It's like, oh, we didn't do this. This is all Halsey's doing.
Yeah. Speaking of Valentine's Day,
Yes.
And Spartan Ops. What do you think of the relationship between Lasky and Palmer? Because in that last cinematic that we saw for episode 9, I mean, it was very subtle. And you could make an argument that it might not even be there, but Palmer was acting real chummy with Lasky. She's like, I know, Tom, and I'm not going to let that woman get you court-martialed or whatever. You know, it was a very tender moment. You know, they were on a first-name basis with each other, and I mean, that it might just be that they're close as comrades, you know, as colleagues, but generally in a relationship like that, especially in a military relationship, you'd think it would be more formal.
Right. I don't know if there's... Everyone has their speculations. There's a lot of people out there that think they're banging each other, and while that may or may not be the case, it could be as simple as the fact that they've had a long history with each other. I mean, we know Lasky has a long history with Chief, and he went out of his way to make sure Chief was able to do what he needed to do to follow the Didact in the campaign. So,
but that's what I'm saying. You know, there's a lot of tension between long-lasting relationships between, you know, men and women throughout history. I mean, that's a plot point of many a, you know, a novel or television series or movie. You know, I mean, in the midst of battle, you know, a man and a woman fighting together, fall in love, you know.
Right.
It's a classic love theme.
I'm just not sure. There's some things that, at least some ideas going through my head that's not entirely convinced that they're, like, in a relationship. They're like, maybe good friends.
So you believe that Lasky and Roland are in a relationship? Like Chief and Cortana.
No. Why would it? Is there Roland a theory Miller? About that?
I think there might be like a Roland Miller.
Oh dear
theory.
God!
I mean,
boy,
who knows? I mean, if Cortana can fall in love with Chief, and Chief can fall in love with Cortana, I mean they've set a precedent there. In universe, you can fall in love with AI.
Right. This is kind of out of my league of discussion. I'd have to get some better experts in here to talk about this, but there's the possibilities definitely there that Lasky and Palmer are in a relationship, and I think they're technically two separate branches of the armed services, so it's technically not fraternization. Yeah. So maybe they are.
But
it's just that the Spartans are always in that undersuit, and they basically never take it off. It's basically a part of them, so if they were doing it, I don't really see how they would be doing it.
I mean, you don't even have to do it. I mean, that's not
They don't.
Completely necessary for
But there's a lot of people out there that think they are doing it.
I mean, look at the relationship between Chief and Cortana. I mean, ultimately that culminated in, you know, she had to... It was a weird circumstance that she was even able to touch the Chief at all.
Yeah, a lot of people have issues with that.
Yeah, but...
Well, we'll have
it was okay.
We'll have podcasts talking I'm about just, that way after Halo 4 is come and gone.
As a longtime fan of Avatar: The Last Airbender, I am just a fan in general of romance and stories, as long as it's subtle and just not, you know, like in some anime just goes absurd with that
kind of stuff.
And the love triangles going on, but.
And I think the one that we see between Lasky and Palmer here isn't a bad one. I mean, a lot of people I think are jumping to conclusions without solid evidence, which, I mean, it's fine. The game leaves it open to interpretation, which is a good thing. It leaves people to kind of guess on what's going on and kind of create another reality for themselves. But then again, it's like you said, it's nice and subtle for Spartan Ops, which I think is why it works pretty well. It doesn't interfere with the storyline too much. This latest episode that we've seen, episode 9, is the most that we've seen out of the two, and it's very brief. It's like a 20-second clip out of a 5.5-minute sequence or something like that. So it's not something that's completely intruding into the main story of Spartan Ops, but it's something that's there, and it's a good tease, and everyone is having a good time with it.
Yep.
But onto Valentine's. But onto the Valentine's stuff, like Brent mentioned. The first thing that was brought up in the bulletin this week is a couple of Valentine's e-cards that you could send to your loved one if you have one of those. Unfortunately for Brent and I, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, We don't have one, so we are spending our night here on the podcast. Because we love you guys. We love our community. We love our listeners. So a couple of them I want to read out just because I think they're funny. I don't know if you've read through all of them, Brent, but this is kind of a classic one, the first one that they have up there. One team is red, the other is blue. My favorite team is the one that has you. So that one's kind of just a classic Valentine's Day one.
Yeah.
The whole roses are red, violets are blue thing.
Yeah, I get tired of those adaptations. I don't know. I mean, it's funny enough, but I like the other ones better, just in general. That one's okay, though. I like how the other assassin's about to get, like, assassinated.
Uh-huh.
Like, the blue Spartan's about to get assassinated by the red one. He's literally going to get stabbed in the back.
Yep.
So there's your Valentine's Day sentiment from all Bungie.
All these are pretty good. Another classic one on here. You came to capture my flag, but instead you captured my heart.
Yeah, that one's cute. I like that one.
Yeah.
Insert thruster pack joke here.
Insert that one was okay. Thrust her pack.
Yep.
Yep. The Forge one was a little wonky.
Yeah, some of these are kind of stretching it a bit. And trying to go for a long shot, and they don't necessarily hit each time.
Yeah, there's one here. It's I'm stuck on you, and that one's been around for a while.
Yeah, I mean that's a Halo classic.
Yeah, the Halo classic.
A literal classic. You'd be perfect if you weren't so bad at Halo. That one's pretty good.
Happy Valentine's Day, anyways. there's three other ones on here. I guess we'll go ahead and read them out since there's only three of them left. I was following the waypoint to score, and it led me to you. Not top quality, but okay. This one I think is the worst out of the bunch. If you were a map in Forge, I wouldn't change a single thing about you.
Well, then you wouldn't be forging, would you?
Nope.
It would just be a blank map. That's what you're saying. You're saying that they are a blank map. They're nothing.
Well, no. They're
without
points. It's saying that if you were a map that was like made in Forge.
I know. I'm just trying to change it towards my own purposes.
Yeah. But I think that's... out of the ones that are listed, that one's the least favorite of mine.
Yeah. If you were ordnance, I would choose you every time.
That one's pretty good.
If you were ordinance, right. I would ask 343 to take you out of the game and replace you with a better system, like classic Halo.
Oh, dang. Ouch. Hate, Brent. Hate.
Have you ever seen that on Chappelle Show?
No.
The player haters ball?
I have not.
That's what they did. Instead of cheering, they'd go, hate. Ice-T was like the MC. It's pretty good.
Oh, boy. So there's your Valentine's e-cards for your loved ones for Valentine's Day. So if you're listening to this in the remaining few hours, minutes of this podcast being released, then you can head on over to the bulletin and grab yourself one of the cards to shoot on over to your special someone.
Yes.
Next up in the bulletin update is, of course, the Spartan Ops update, and this is... addressing episode 8, the one from last week. As you guys know, of course, episode 10 is coming up next week. It's going to be the finale of season 1 of Spartan Ops. This is an interesting moment in Halo 4 history. The storyline and the gameplay has been vastly improved since the first 5 episodes. A lot of people are calling it Spartan Ops 1.5 for a pretty good reason. They made a lot of good improvements. And the storyline, of course, has just been phenomenal. And now we get to see kind of the conclusion, which is going to hint on the thing that Halsey brought back from the librarian when she visited her. What we see with Jewel and Dama taking over some of the stuff on Requiem and the Infinity trying to escape the slipspace tie that is being held to Requiem with them from the artifact that's on the ship and all that good stuff. Will we see a cliffhanger for the end of season 1? Don't know.
Will Jewel finally kiss Halsey? Who knows?
Jewel?
Yes.
We haven't even seen a mention of him in this game.
That's my new favorite pairing.
What, Jewel and Halsey?
Yes.
Well, Halsey already had keys. I mean, keys is gone now, I guess, but I don't know. She doesn't seem like the type of person to hook up with anyone else.
Yeah.
Just
saying. She
already
had one kid that she didn't want, so.
I don't know if it wasn't that she didn't want. She just didn't care.
No, she did. I mean, she didn't like Miranda very much. Let's be honest.
Well, did it say somewhere specifically, like in the book or something, that she didn't like Miranda?
In character summaries that I've seen, they imply that she had a pretty contentious relationship with Miranda. Like, she was supposed to show up at Miranda's promotion ceremony on Cairo Station and decided not to. That's kind of messed up.
Okay. Interesting.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just completely off.
No,
everything
you may be
I
right.
read was a lie.
No, you're probably right.
This is why I need to read all the books. I need to finally get around to it. So that you, the listener...
Well, I mean, I've read most of the books, and there's stuff that happens outside the books, too, that... I mean, I didn't even know about her not attending the awards or the promotion ceremony, because that's not in the books. So you know more than I do about that, apparently.
No, I don't know anything. Like, the things I read are often untrue. But this was on Halopedia, I think.
They have some pretty accurate stuff up there.
Yeah. So,
I mean, it's a Wikipedia for Halo, so their stuff is pretty accurate. There's a couple other sites out there. The Halo Wikia is a pretty good one. Ascendant Justice, before they moved over to 343, was a really good place to get your stuff, and now Forward Unto Dawn has some stuff over there.
I think somebody needs to step up and become, like, the quintessential Halo Wiki. Like, the new Ascendant Justice, kind of.
Yeah.
Become like the Bulbapedia of Halo.
So, as far as I know, and granted, there are so many Halo communities out there that there's probably one out there already, but as far as I'm aware, Forward Unto Dawn would kind of be the closest thing next to to Ascendant Justice. The Halopedia and the Halowikia definitely have a lot of the information there.
Yeah.
And all the story stuff is there, but it's in wiki form, and the format that Ascendant Justice had that you could go through and pick out a lot of the fiction stuff was just very, very well done. And it was easy to find, it was easy to get nitty-gritty into some of the finer parts of the storyline, the Halo universe, the mythos, everything. And with the Halopedia and the Halo Wikia, it's just, it doesn't flow as well. It flows like a wiki. It flows like the encyclopedia stuff, but it just doesn't flow as well as what the Ascended Justice guys had.
Right.
So, for the episode 8 part, this is where we see some interesting stuff happen. This one particular thing is Admiral Osman makes an appearance. Now, if you guys have read the Karen Travis novels, you know that Osman is basically the predecessor to Perrin Goski, pretty much the head of Oni. So she's the one that basically orders Spartan or Lasky to kill Halsey, and Spartan Palmer is taking that action in episode 9. So that's the whole argument that's kind of going on in the community right now, is of what they really think about Spartan Palmer. And honestly, I don't think it's something to really blame Palmer for.
No, I mean, as far as she's concerned, Halsey is a traitor. I mean, based on what she knew at the time.
Right.
When she went to go kill her.
And
so,
it'll be interesting to see how her perception of Halsey changes in this last episode, because we have the scene where Halsey throws the second half of the key over to Thorne, and at the very end, when she gets picked up by Jewel and escapes with one of the knights, Thorne's holding out, if she was really a traitor, then why did she hand over this? So maybe... I hope they're not that blunt.
No, they're not going to go that way. I'm just saying, if Palmer really wanted to kill Halsey, just really, really wanted to kill her, just based on her own personal vendettas, she could probably come up with some messed up justification for it.
Now, I would wager a guess that there's probably going to be a lot of dislike for her throughout this last episode, and heck, Spartan Palmer might still want to kill Halsey afterwards and go through the order, but there needs to be some kind of, like, realization on Palmer's side of, like, oh, maybe she's not as bad as she thought of. Yeah, maybe. And if they get the key back, then yeah, what's happened is all good. But it doesn't need to be like just a blind. No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happened. She needs to be killed. As long as they stay away from that door, then I'm perfectly fine with how whatever the outcome of episode 10 is going to be. So moving on. Huh? Sorry.
I was just going to say that I still want some sort of Sarah Palmer Halo media, like either a video or like, you know how they did the Halo Legends video or whatever. Wait, is that
like which
what
one?
What was the anime collection?
Yeah, it was Halo Legends.
Halo. Yeah. Like, so we know that they're not opposed to putting out like little side stories. So, I mean, put out like a Sarah Palmer book or something. Put out like some sort of animated video series showing me how Sarah Palmer came to be, how she came to get to where she is now.
Even like a bulletin update with a section on that specifically would be interesting, or a blog post even.
Yeah, because they're setting her up as a major character. I mean,
we need a little bit more background information on her. They set up
Lasky.
Yeah, they set him up perfectly.
That's almost the entire reason that Forward Unto Dawn exists, in my opinion. Like, they needed something to set up Lasky as like a ship captain that you would like, you know, somebody to look up to, like people looked up to Captain Keyes, you know, in the first Halo, and then, you know, Johnson in the later games 2 and 3.
Right.
So you needed someone other than the chief to be able to look at and say, yeah, that's a heroic dude in the Halo universe. So they set him up, you know, Forward Unto Dawn did a pretty good job of that. Like, knowing what he went through at Corbulo, it makes you appreciate him more as a character in Halo 4.
Right.
I think that if they just, like, put him in and said, hey, here's this dude you should like, people would have been like, this is kind of an empty character, not too interesting.
You're right. There wouldn't have been much of a connect to Lasky in the game.
Yeah.
Including the campaign.
Yeah.
They do need to do something similar for Palmer, just going back and getting the backstory of how she joined the Spartan program, what she did as a Spartan up until that point, what her relationship with Oni is, all that stuff. Even if it's just brief, just some kind of general background on who Palmer is.
Saturday morning cartoon series called Spartan Tales about Spartan Fours.
Oh, boy.
Went on adventures.
Okay, next thing we have in the bulletin is another Section 3 part. So we've seen these before. We even had a couple of video segments on these when before Halo 4 came out, and they had them actually kind of hidden. And they actually led to some of the terminal codes that you can unlock in the Waypoint app. And if you're interested in what all the codes are out so far, definitely go over to Naked Eli's channel on YouTube. And he has all the videos up for all the codes that have come out so far. And this one is talking about codes that are going to be related to the book Silentium that comes out in about a month. So there's they're hiding keys again. They're hiding these codes. So they're a little beyond me, and some people have been able to analyze these a lot better than me. I'm not nearly as smart as some of these people out there. Credit to you guys, because you guys have done a fantastic job when seeing the evolution of all these things come together before the launch of Halo 4, and then like the week or two after, as they were kind of finalizing and putting all the pieces together. It was just really interesting to see how 343 hid these things everywhere and how people were able to find them and extract them and all that stuff. And it's like, wow, I could not do that. So we have a very talented community in the Halo universe.
And that goes back all the way to, you know, Bungie's legacy with ARGs.
The I Love Bees thing.
Which has now extended into Destiny. ARG.
So this is a perfect segue into the Bungie ARG for Destiny, which actually started Monday this week. So today is actually day 4 of a week-long ARG. And what's been going on is they have they had a poster on the Bungie forums called Alpha Loopy post a link to this site, and it's a subdomain of Bungie.net, and there's a couple of glyphs up there, and if you put them in the right order, you can get access to kind of another section. And there's two images that pops up. One is a geomask, and then another one is an output. And it's a blurry representation of the thing that you're supposed to figure out what it is. And there is a good write-up by NCSU Duncan. He's a big NeoGAF person, HaloGAF person. And he's put together a lot of resources and is kind of one of the driving forces behind this, like, along with a few other people. But he's one of the prominent figures out there that I'm aware of that's kind of really pushing this. And he has a blog that he's been posting a lot of information on. It's called Miss Raya Solutions. And he's tracking all of the community's efforts in figuring out all these codes and figuring out how to decrypt it. So this is a really interesting process of what they're doing. They're taking this base image of what's going to eventually be the thing that's the end of the puzzle for the day, and they do something that's called a Fourier transform. Now, I'm not a huge math person. I didn't get this far into my math studies, but the function is done in such a way where, corresponding to this geomask that gets put out, you can do a Fourier transform on this output image, overlay this geomask, and then certain spots will come up. And over time, as more images get produced, it gets updated every 5 minutes. And the more people that actually hit the site within a 5-minute window, the more spots will show up. And these spots will come together and form numbers that will link to the image for the day. And yesterday, or the first day we had, it was just a straight line of numbers. And that one was solved pretty quickly once people were able to figure out what to do. The second day was a QR code. Yesterday's was in a circle. It was kind of in a sphere. And that one was a little bit harder to figure out because about 4 or 5 numbers were actually missing and were purposely missing from the final image. So people had to kind of brute force that one out. And for today's, it's the same thing as yesterday's, except now it's in color. So it's a little bit harder to figure it out. And no one's figured it out quite yet today as of this recording. But people are still pushing for it. So if you're interested in all this stuff or what Bungie's doing with their next game, definitely check it out. You can find a link to the blog on our homepage. Actually, I put a post about this on Monday as the ARG started. So it's some pretty interesting stuff. Have you been following any of it, Brent?
I've been, you know, keeping up with it a little bit. Whenever they'll figure out one of the pictures or something, I'll read it, you know, look the picture over. But most of the pictures just have cryptic messages on them. Kind of like poetic asides that I think that it's part of a bigger puzzle, but it's too cryptic for me to figure out. I mean, it's just like crazy stuff like the winds of change blow gently across your face as the world is, you know, it's just crazy stuff. Obviously, we don't know really anything about Destiny yet other than what we've seen in concept art, you know, that you can speculate about. So.
Well, and there was the whole legal thing with Activision whenever they had to leak that contract.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't even want to show
it. Which I never actually read.
Yeah, I haven't read it either. So, I mean, the thing that people are taking, they're just kind of, a lot of PS3 fans thought that they were going to get Destiny day and date with the Xbox 360 version or whatever they're going to do. I don't know if they're going to put it out for the next-gen consoles or what, but if I were going to guess, I would say that Destiny is going to come out on PS3 and Xbox 360. But now people are saying that based on the contract that Microsoft had signed with them earlier, or some crazy stuff, that PS3 might not get Destiny the same time that Xbox does. So it'll be a timed exclusive on Xbox.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. But I mean, a lot of, you know, Sony fans are getting mad. They're like, man, Bungie's finally making games for us and Microsoft's screwing us over again.
Well, it's a platform that they've worked with for how long now? 10 years? So yeah. It's a platform they're comfortable with already. So these images actually kind of pull together to make what is known as the, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right. It's a weird pronunciation, but it's a Ptolemy's alchemist. It's some kind of, I don't know what it is. I'm not that versed in like whatever it's, if it's like old history stuff or what. People are yelling at me right now.
Yep.
So I'm just going to stop. But yeah, that's the image that is being generated is based something on that. So
that's what I hate. Whenever I go to talk about anything like this, like my amount of knowledge concerning like any of it, especially like the Halo novels or, you know, the ARGs, I just don't know enough to speak definitively about it.
Yeah, just drops.
Just like, I want to be in the Destiny beta. That's all I know. If there's a beta for Destiny, I want to be there. So Bungie, if you're listening, you know where to find me.
Yeah.
I'm ready for you, Bungie.
You ready?
You can be my Valentine, Bungie.
Aww, how sweet. All right, moving back to the bulletin. Matchmaking playlist update. This week is going to be see the introduction of Team Throwdown. This is the 343 version of the competitive playlist, and it's going to feature Team Slayer, Capture the Flag, Extraction, and King of the Hill game types, ranging across multiple different maps.
Hmm. Yes.
So, for all you competitive players out there, this is going to be the one where you're going to be having a lot of fun in. They actually had some playtesters, some well-known MLG personalities, Ghost Aami, Walshy, and Strongside, help playtest some of these maps. And, of course, Bravo is now there with the 343 team on the matchmaking team, so of course, using connections, they're getting some people who really know the competitive scene really well, and they've probably tailored this playlist very, very fine-tuned.
So these settings are going to show up in MLG later this year, right? For Halo 4?
you're funny.
No, I'm sad. I'm not actually. I'm laughing because if I didn't laugh, I would cry.
It's
the
sad.
Loss of MLG.
Yeah. It's still a little blurry on what the root reason was, but of course it's not as popular anymore. The whole Virgin Gaming thing, or Virgin Mobile thing, it's still unclear what specifically was the issue that caused MLG to drop Halo 4, but just seeing how MLG started with Halo 2, it's kind of odd to see Halo leave the circuit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you hear these names like Walshy and Strongside and Ghost Aami, and you think of MLG.
Right.
And, you know, now it's gone. You know, it's never coming back.
Well, it's not to say it's never coming back.
Well, I mean, no, but...
There's a strong likeliness that it won't come back.
Yeah.
Right.
And maybe something new will come along. Maybe a new gaming circuit will pick up Halo and go crazy with it. I don't know. Yeah, well, I don't think it'll happen until Halo 5, at least.
Well, so the competitive league now is Arena Gaming League.
Yeah.
Or Arena League. No, Arena Gaming League. I always get the L and the G mixed up. And they actually had a tournament a month ago, and that was in Chicago. And they have one coming up next month as well. I believe they're having 6 events this year, possibly more. I forget the count. Definitely going to see if I can get one of those guys on the show to talk about what their vision for Halo 4 competitive multiplayer is and what directions they're kind of taking for their league compared to what MLG has done in the past. So hopefully I can get one of those guys on and we can talk about what their idea of Halo 4 competitive is. And I bet we're going to see a lot of this stuff kind of incorporated, because we saw a lot of this already influenced by the tournament that we saw last month. All these game types, all 4 of these, were ones that were played at this tournament. Well, except King of the Hill. I'm not sure if that was. I know Slayer, CTF, and Extraction was. I can't remember if King of the Hill was. But those are definitely some good team-oriented maps, and with how Capture the Flag and Extraction works in King of the Hill, it really enforces a lot more teamwork than I think a lot of past Halo 4 tournaments with the MLG circuit has. So I think this is, while a lot of people are still kind of complaining about not being able to drop the flag and all that stuff, I still think it enforces teamwork in a way that's going to be overall better for the game.
I just have a logical issue with not being able to drop the flag. It's like, why can't you drop the flag? Like, is your hand magnetically clenched around the flag until you score? Like, what's wrong?
So of course that doesn't make sense. But there's, once you pick it up, you commit.
Yeah, apparently because you can't drop it. It's like stuck on your hand.
For me, I like it because it enforces teamwork.
Yep.
For the game settings for this playlist, it's going to be a little different per playlist, of course, but all the teams are going to be 4-on-4. Score to win for CTF is likely going to be 3 caps for bigger maps, 5 caps for smaller maps. Extraction, I believe, is still going to be 5 extracts, time limit of 15 minutes. Same thing with capture flags, 15 minutes. Team Slayer is probably going to be 600 points. King of the Hill, probably to the 250 points again. The loadout for this one is Battle Rifle is primary, nothing secondary, 2 frag grenades, no armor abilities, resupply, tactical mod, and the explosive support mod. So the resupply lets you pick up grenades off of dead bodies, and the explosives makes explosions a little bit more impactful.
Yeah. More enjoyable.
Yeah. No instant respawn, no death cam, motion tracker is for allies only. There is personal ordnance, but it has been very heavily tailored for competitive experience, so you're not going to get stuff like binary rifles and incineration cannons like that. No join in progress, no guests.
Guests allowed.
Yeah. For the game type maps, CTF is going to have a Drift, Simplex, Solace. Extraction is going to be on Dispatch and Haven. King of the Hill is Shutout. That's an interesting one for King of the Hill.
Yeah.
And then Team Slayer is going to be Abandon, Haven, Shutout, Simplex, and Solace. So if you guys remember the Forge community test playlist, of those that are making the return in this playlist is Simplex, Dispatch, and Shutout.
I think I remember King of the Hill being a fairly popular game type on Lockout in Halo 2.
I guess.
It was like above glass. That area was, that center area was
so top
hill.
Middle?
Yeah, top mid.
Okay.
And then
cool.
Yeah. I don't remember. Yeah, I think people played Crazy King on Lockout. I don't remember. I remember Crazy King was a
so I remember
favorite.
Like Halo 2 Customs, where it was like the boxing arena where you would go in with plasma pistols and you have to punch people in the hill.
Oh, yeah. The mosh pit.
Yeah.
I think that was what they called
it. Mosh pit?
I think that was the custom. Or mosh pit might have been in Halo 3 with grav hammers.
See, I got into the Halo 2 scene.
I don't remember the names
very
of those
late.
Custom games.
So I never got to really get into the details of all those kind of custom maps. Like, I definitely played zombies. I played, what was it? Lava something? Lava Man.
Okay. I've never
played,
heard of that one.
Played Godfather.
Yeah.
And a few other ones that were there, but I never got to explore the whole plethora of it.
Did you ever play Cat and Mouse?
Yeah, I did play that.
Coac.
Yeah.
That was a favorite. Tremors?
I want to say yes, but describe it for me.
You had to, I think speed was slowed down for all Spartans, and you had to stay on the rocks on Coag to, because ghosts were like running around trying to kill you, and you had to get over to the other base to win. You had to start from one base and go to the other one.
Oh, no, I didn't play that then. What was the big custom one on Waterworks?
I think I remember something, but I know you could play cat and mouse on Waterworks.
There are a few other smaller ones that I remember playing. I just don't remember what the names of them are.
Yeah. Just good stuff back then. Those were good custom games.
Speaking of Halo 2, they did announce last week that they were ending support for Halo 2 this weekend, but they've actually extended it. So now it's pushed back until July? Or was it June?
Let me see.
I'll look this up here real quick. But yeah, so support for Halo 4 has been extended a little bit. June 2013. There you go.
Okay.
They are looking for kind of a more long-term solution, whether that means that they're doing a remake of something for the PC. Maybe that means Halo 2 Anniversary. I don't know. There's a lot of things that may hint at. Just not exactly sure what that means. So, we shall
see. What would you like to see? Like, what would you like 343 to do with Halo 2 Vista?
I would... With Halo 2 Vista or just, like, Halo in general for PC?
Right now, Halo 2 Vista is the only place you can play Halo 2 multiplayer online.
So...
I mean, officially.
The graphics look alright for the PC. I mean, a graphics update would be alright, I guess. So, the big problem with Halo 2 Vista was just their implementation of it, and the big thing back then was the requirement that had to be installed on Vista, and they had to use DirectX 10, which was stupid. That was the big gripe that everyone had, and it was just a horrible push. If they had pushed it right, if they had it playable on XP and just used DirectX 9, because I don't even think the Xbox uses DirectX 10. I think they still use DirectX 9. I could be completely wrong on that, but there was no technical reason why it couldn't have been played on XP, because people actually hacked into a way that could be played on XP. You couldn't do multiplayer, but you could do the campaign just fine. So with that, it's just how they implemented it just came out very, very badly. And of course, there's no matchmaking on there. People had to have servers stood up, which is fine. That's how a lot of the PC titles work.
Yeah.
But it was never got the popularity that Halo PC had. And actually, I haven't been on there in a while either. But I guess to address your question, I honestly don't know if there would be one thing to change about Halo 4. I mean, not Halo 4, Halo 2 for the PC. Because all in all, it's still a pretty good game. It's just it didn't get the popularity soon enough for people to hop on board with it.
Right.
In my opinion. It would be nice if the game for Windows Live client had party chat so people could actually talk with each other. Like, you can do private chats cross-platform. That's not a problem. I think a lot of people were also expecting the ability to cross-play between PC and Xbox, and that's not technically feasible, but I think a lot of people were expecting it anyways. And the tools for the map editor, I think a lot of people had issues with that, because the custom modding community for Halo 2 never picked up steam quite like the Halo 1 modding community does. And there's still people that customize Halo Custom Edition. There's a whole slew of maps that come out. Like, every summer when people are off from school, you have maybe a good 20, 30 maps coming out per week over at halomaps.org. So it never really got the attention that the Halo CE for PC got when it first launched. I think if they did Halo 3 and they did it right, if they kind of pick up what they missed on Halo 2 Vista and did it right for Halo 3, I think it would be a hit. It'd kind of be like a revitalization to Halo 3 as well. So, back to the bulletin stuff. The Crimson DLC playlist is the one that's going to be replaced by this Team Throwdown. So the Crimson maps are still rotated in some of the other playlists, so you will get your Crimson maps every now and then, but if you want to play Crimson-specific maps for a little while, take these last few days that it's going to be available and play to your heart's content, because it's going out as a playlist right now.
Yeah, the population in that list was real low, it was low last time I checked.
Well, and in 2 weeks' time, we have the Mythic map pack coming out.
Yep.
So it's just kind of making way for that as well.
And then something will replace the Mythic playlist. So.
Eventually, yeah. Yeah. An update to Team Snipers has the scoring to 500 points instead of 600 points. So that's 50 kills instead of 60. And Shutout has been added to the SWAT playlist. So that's your matchmaking update. As for the title update, they've given us a few more details on what it's going to entail. That's supposed to be coming out here within the next 2 weeks or so. A couple of big ticket items that they revealed. There is the reduced range of the bolt shot damage, scaling over distance. The previous effective range for one-hit kills was 20 to 25 feet, and it now has been reduced to 15 feet, which I still think is a little too much.
Yeah, I think one of the main problems with the bolt shot isn't its, you know, it's not how effective it is. It's the fact you spawn with it. Like, you get a shotgun right every time you spawn. I mean...
So it needs to be something that's, I think, at most 10 feet.
Like 5 inches in front of you. It's like a melee weapon.
They need to be in your face in order for you to pull a starter weapon out and pop somebody. Because that's just ridiculous. 25 feet away. No wonder people were dying so much by the bolt shot and using it like crazy. It's an overpowered weapon, and I refuse to start with it. I'll pick it up if someone's like has it, and I'll use it every now and then, but I do not. I refuse to start with that weapon. So,
yeah.
It's a good thing they're nerfing it. I'm not sure if this nerf is nearly enough. I guess we'll see in the next couple of weeks as it gets after the TU comes out. But at least they've done something to dial back the damage with it. I am wondering, though, if this is going to be something that's applied across the board, or if this is just something that's going to be done across all matchmaking players. It says a title update, so I would hope it's across the board. Obviously, they're not going to be touching the campaign, but for in terms of multiplayer, I hope this fixes that for customs as well. A couple other things. It fixes an issue that did not allow players to create respawn timers or disable instant respawn in custom games. So, a lot of people that have made custom maps and made game types have complained that disabling instant respawn doesn't work and can't enforce a certain respawn timer. Well, this title update is supposed to fix both of those issues. And finally, more a couple issues with friendly fire against vehicles. So, you could, if friendly fire is off and you shot a vehicle or EMP'd it, it would still take effect. So the stuff like the overcharge from the plasma pistol and fire weapon damage to the vehicle now no longer takes effect on the vehicle.
Yep. So rocket race time. Let's go.
Yes, that is true. Monkeys are back in action. And we have Ragnarok to do it on as well.
Yeah.
All right. So that is your bulletin update. On to our submissions for the week. We actually have quite a few this week. I guess the people heard that we were low on submissions, and we got a truck full this week. I believe we have 9. Actually, I'm counting 8 here. Oh, that's right. One was a direct message to me. So we have 8 submissions for this week. First one comes from MickJ1. He says, "Hey guys, in particular episode 345, you discussed how much Microsoft will charge for the second season of Spartan Ops. Do you think that if they're going to start charging for Spartan Ops, they should remove the need to be connected to Xbox Live in order to play? Personally, I think that once we pay for it, we should be able to play it locally as much as we want without paying for Xbox Live. Love the show. Keep up the good work." The answer is no, because with how they control the episodic release of Spartan Ops, basically what they would be doing is in order to be able to play offline in the manner you're talking about and playing on like a silver subscription, you would basically have to quote unquote buy a pass and then download new content every week. And I don't think they're going to put the stress in there to make that into effect. And they already came out and said the requirements for playing Spartan Ops over the Halo 4 experience as a whole, you have to have Xbox Gold and you have to be connected to Live. So that's not going to change.
I don't know. The episodic nature requires an internet connection. I mean, if you want to stay up on Spartan Ops, you'll have to, you know, have a connection at some point eventually, or else you're just going to play like the first episode over and over and over again.
Right.
But
now, if there was a way, so for the offline part, it does seem a little funny that when you're offline, if you were connected at one point and something's been unlocked at a certain point, then it should be unlocked in game. That's kind of a little tricky because, of course, you can change time settings. Not it'd have to be something separate that they can keep, like as a key. So whenever you download the, what is it like? If you were playing something like FIFA and you download the season pass, it's like a key that says, "Yes, you can do this." So on top of that, it would have to be something that you download every week. That would be an update to Halo 4. That's basically like a key that says, "Yes, this content's unlocked. Yes, this content's unlocked. Yes, this content's unlocked." And that's just a lot of hassle, I think, on their part. So I am 99.999% certain that that's not going to change for Season 2 of Spartan Ops.
Right.
Yep.
Next submission. My name is Recon. Hello, Podtacular. My name is Sean, or as I call myself on Xbox Live, my name is Recon, or Recon for short. I've been with the Halo community for 10 years, having played all of the Halo games from Game 1. Lately, I've been taking notes on Halo 4, comparing it to Halo Reach and Halo 3 for justification of why Halo 4 is not attracting players the way it used to, and why the game mechanics have become unbalanced and absurd. I've been listening to your show for about 100 episodes now, and I really enjoy it. I would really like to be on the show to share with you the list of problems and solutions Halo 4 has brought to the community. I feel as though this would be a great show for those concerned with Halo 4's campaign, Spartan Ops, matchmaking, and everything in between. Thank you for taking the time to read this, and I hope you could give me feedback on your decision.
So, we'll be looking towards kind of the summer time frame of having people on the show in terms of community guests. We're still in the middle of our coverage of Halo 4, and it's going to be like this kind of up and through until May when they release the final map pack. But rest assured, we are going to have community people back on the show. About May timeframe is when we'll start having the community get involved. And it's always kind of been a summer thing where we get the community involved. And, of course, after that, as Halo 4 dies down, we'll be looking more towards the community for content and what's going on in the Halo realm while Halo kind of has died down in terms of being a recent game release, and while 343 is off making their next game. But we'll definitely keep you on a list to invite on the show sometime. And if you really want to post your problems and solutions about Halo 4, you can definitely head over to the forums right now. There's just a small group of people that are over there, and I definitely encourage you to share it with other communities as well, because as long as you have good constructive arguments and have a logical flow to your stuff, you can post it just about everywhere and you're going to get good feedback. And we'd even be willing to just read all your feedback on the show as well. If you don't want to wait that long. But yeah, so everyone I think has a list, and it's interesting to see how much is common between the general community and then what specific things really sticks out to people. So maybe if you want to bring up the specifics, that might be something of interest to bring on the podcast. Next submission that we have here is from Martin Smith. He writes in, "This is more of a compliment and pat on the back than anything, so bear with me. My name is Martin. I'm a 30-year-old married father of two awesome kids and, like yourself, a rabid Halo fan. I want to say, as a part of your international listening audience, Australia, thank you for all your hard work that you do, and for the Halo community. Your diligence in releasing content has been unwavering and much appreciated. I've been listening for a long time, and gotta say, leading up to Halo 4 especially, that listening to your podcast at work made the wait go that much faster and made the anticipation more bearable. Lately, I've been loving the work of Spartan Ops you've been doing with Sal from Halo Fan for Life. Your Griffball podcasts have been pretty awesome as well, and I don't even play Griffball. Keep up the great work, and you and your co-hosts do an amazing job. I am now off to watch my son Max, who is 5 years old, finish the composer on normal. That's right, 5 year old, and he's up to the composer by himself with no help from me. Told you I was a diehard Halo fan, much to the dismay of my amazing wife. Oh boy, and this is on Valentine's Day. Keep on fragging trucks all the way from the land down under. Thank you, Martin. We have quite a few people down there in Australia, believe it or not. We've actually had some of them on a show. I believe 2 years ago we had pretty much an all Aussie podcast.
We're big in Australia.
Yeah.
It's our key listener base. That's our key demographic. No. I'm changing it. We're changing our key demographic out of North America into Australia.
Why? Are you planning on moving to Australia?
No, but if we ever have like a Podtacular Con or something, like Podtac Expo, that's where we need to do it. We need to go to Australia.
Yeah. Well, so looking at our site,
it'd be cool.
It would be cool. I'm not saying it wouldn't be cool. I'm just like looking at our site statistics from last year. Definitely the bulk of people that listen to our show are from the US, and then shortly behind that, the UK and Canada, and then Australia takes kind of a fourth behind that.
Yeah.
So I think kind of the America region would probably be a priority. Just saying.
But thanks for the compliments.
Yes, thank you very much. And 30 years old, it's nice. I don't mean this bad on any of our young listeners. We have a very young listener base, which is not a problem, but it's nice to see someone a little bit more mature write in and say something about our show. So definitely shout-outs to you. And we do have – there's someone that posted on our – survey that we did that it was in the 35 to 45 range. So there's definitely a few people that are older that listen to this show, a lot older than Brent and I. So it's interesting to see kind of the demographic, but we definitely hit that 13 to 17. That's kind of our core demographic.
Yeah. Fresh out of the womb.
Demographic. Not fresh out of the womb.
Infants love our show.
Adolescent.
No, infants.
Yeah.
They're playing us over the loudspeaker in like maternity wards and hospitals across the nation.
So the all Aussie podcast that I talked about is episode 195. This is going way back. This is very shortly after I picked up the podcast. About 8 months in, I think, after picking up the podcast, that would have been my 33rd podcast? Yeah, 33rd podcast of actually doing Podtacular. So episode 195, if you're interested in hearing an all Aussie podcast, then knock yourselves out. All right, you want to take the next one?
Yes. MechWarrior488 says, "Hey guys, what's up? This is my first submission. I've been listening to Podtacular for the last year, and you all do a fantastic job. Keep up the awesome content."
Gosh, was it with the last year that we did that was so fantastic?
Right. We finally made it.
I know,
we're popular,
right?
Now. I've been a Halo fan since the beginning. I've played all the games. There are some things about Halo 4 that I want to talk about. At first, I thought the campaign was awesome. Even from someone who has not read the books, there were so many things that were done to the game. The biggest was going deeper into the relationship between Chief and Cortana. My experience in Spartan Ops has been very satisfying, and I look forward when Season 1 is finished to see how they will add new flair to Season 2. War games have been great, team doubles have been fun, and I have enjoyed their 2v2 CTF. It certainly brings a new dynamic to the game. All game types have been exciting, and I enjoy each one. Dominion has been a top favorite. One thing I wanted to suggest is that when you guys are doing Monday Night Matchmaking, I am someone who cannot be able to join at that time. Have you guys thought about doing a matchmaking night on a weekend time, like on a Friday or a Saturday? Just a suggestion. My gamer tag is MechWarrior488. Love the podcast and keep on fragging trucks.
So we haven't had too many. Well, actually, we haven't had any comments about Monday Night Matchmaking doing on another night. I'm not sure how many international people like in Australia and UK would be needing another time, but it's definitely something we wouldn't mind exploring doing something on the weekend. The next big thing that we're looking to do is Wacky Wednesdays, and that's going to be our customs, and that's going to probably come up in the late time frame this month, or probably the first week in March. That's going to be a weekend time or a weekday time frame as well, though. On the weekends, that's kind of more of my time to catch up with stuff. You're definitely willing, more than willing, to send me a message if you want to play. If there's a certain time that I guess people want to do, if we can, if you guys send in messages that says that you agree with this guy, and it's like, yes, do something on the weekends, then we'll definitely look into finding a time on the weekends that can accommodate most people, especially those that are not U.S. bound.
Yep, foreign Fridays for the international
foreign
crowd.
Oh, that's interesting. So we have Monday Night Matchmaking, Wacky Wednesdays, and foreign Fridays. That might be interesting. So, yeah, MechWarrior, I don't believe you told us where you were from. Maybe you are stateside, and maybe the weekdays aren't just good for you. But if there's anyone that's overseas from the States or the America region, and you want to put together a event or something, definitely email us, and we'll look about possibly getting something together if we have enough pool for it. And we'll go from there.
Mm-hmm.
Next one comes from GameDude03. He writes in, "Hey guys, Halo 4's playlists are looking good right now. You've got Griffball, Team Doubles, Team Snipers, Team Objectives, etc. So with the new DLC coming, do you both think that they will have some sort of mixed DLC playlist like in Reach? Also, I think Wacky Wednesdays sound awesome and can't wait to come to that. Oh yeah, I just remembered that there is this community website called Halo Customs from the guys that run the Halo Forge Epidemic that have forums for all custom games. You can even set up your own date on the site and get people to find customs. I advise you check it out." Well, so to address your first question, for the DLC playlist, I doubt it's going to be mixed. I'm pretty sure it's going to be strictly Majestic DLC whenever that playlist comes out in 2 weeks. To answer your second question, Insane54, who I actually met through Keith from the Running Riot, he actually reached out to me probably more than a month ago about the website, and we've been talking back and forth, and we are actually going to do a podcast about his site either next week or the week after. So I do know all about Halo Customs. I know what it is. I know what he does over there, and he's a good Halo fan that's dedicated to the cause and everything. So I have heard about it. Thanks for following up, though. We are going to do something with them. We are going to podcast. We are going to partner up with them. And we'll probably pull a lot of customs from that site. And we will post events over there whenever we start our Wacky Wednesdays. All right, next one.
Cool. Horizon says, "Hey, wanted to let you know in episode 345, when you and Brent derailed into the topic of Xbox Live and its service charges, was a fantastic show. Really enjoyed the topic and the discussion. The length of the podcast was perfect, too. Keep it up."
Yay, someone else likes the random tangents.
Yes, somebody has to like them. I mean, yeah. Somebody out there.
So
just anybody.
There are a lot of topics that we could go over. When the summertime comes around and when Halo 4 kind of dies down and gets quiet, we are going to dive heavily into the lore of Halo, the backstory, from talking with people, from seeing some of the submissions, the comments, from seeing the results of the survey. A lot of people want to know the backstory of Halo. So when Halo kind of dies down a little bit, starting in the April timeframe, we are going to go heavy-hearted into the whole Halo mythos, and we're going to have people like Grim Brother One on, Final Postmortem on, Slightly Live on, Brian Newman on, possibly Laird, a whole bunch of personalities that know way more about Halo than either of us do.
Yes, we need somebody there to tell us how wrong we are about our facts.
And how much don't know.
I mean, really, because I don't know anything. I mean, I know a little bit about Halo and the lore. Probably more than just the general Halo player. But not nearly as much as the guest hosts that we're going to be bringing on. These people are deep.
Well, neither do
into the mythos.
And that's why we have guests on, is because they're the experts, and we're not.
But are we going to do this in, like, chronological order? Are we going to try to start at the very beginning and like work our way up to the lore, or how's that going to work?
So there's a couple of different quote unquote areas that we will be covering, and one of them is going to be strictly the lore that's within Halo 4, because honestly, the Halo 4 campaign story is one of the most complex storylines in the Halo universe, with how they've developed the relationship between Chief and Cortana, and now this thing that we've seen with Lasky and Palmer, and now we have Oni in the mix, and Halsey's thrown in there as well. So there's going to be a list of shows that's going to cover a wide range of topics for the Halo 4 story aspect. We're going to have podcasts that cover the specific books in the franchise. We're going to talk about the Greg Bear novels, the Karen Travis stuff, go into some nitty-gritty details in there as well. And there will probably be a few other sidebar discussions that we'll have regarding Halo background story and everything. The topics that, like what Horizon talked about, that we tangented on last time, like the Xbox Live discussion, those are definitely topics of interest too, because they pertain to us. And one topic that would be similar to that is obviously the speculation of the Halo, or not Halo, the Nextbox, as it's being termed now. And there was actually
Durango.
Yes, Durango.
I know it's called Durango, but for some reason I like calling it Durango.
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 So there was a post on Kotaku this week or last week?
Yep.
Last week?
I think it was last week.
Yeah. And they have someone reported on supposedly a dev kit that they have. They got, or someone contacted them about saying that they have one of the dev kit and they have all the specs. It's pretty beefy. And we saw, I actually have something I bookmarked way back in the day, and I meant to bring this up on the podcast. I can't remember if I did or not, but this is from Bloomberg News, and the title is Microsoft said to plan for the next Xbox for the 2013 holiday season. And this is directly from Microsoft. So there is an Xbox coming out. We know for sure the next Xbox is coming out this year, and it's going to be announced at E3. We know that it's not officially been said, but there's enough evidence out there that firmly supports that we are going to have a new Xbox this year, and it's going to be released, or it's going to be announced at E3.
And in 6 days, Sony is going to be announcing the PS4, probably.
Oh, really? Is there a convention for that, or is it just a press release?
They're having their own like event that they're like the future of PlayStation. Show up February 20th. It'll be online and live in person at some sort of, I don't know where they're having it, but they're having their own little event to, they're pretty sure they're going to announce PS4. Just how they're kind of hyping this event.
Sure enough, that's fair to say.
I mean, all of the major, like, game journal outlets are, like, talking about it. They're all going, so it is going to be the PS4 announcement.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think they just wanted to get ahead of Microsoft on this kind of stuff. Get people talking about the PS4 so that you have something to compare it to when they, you know, when they finally do announce the next box at E3, the 720 or Durango or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, they'll probably use the Durango keyword, and then by the time the holiday season comes out, they'll probably have an official name for it like they had for the Natal.
Like PS4 is Orbis. I don't remember what the original Xbox 360 code name was, that project.
I don't know either. I should, but I don't.
The Wii was The Revolution, which was a better name in my opinion. But I mean, I remember when they first announced that they were going to rename or name their new console the Wii. Like, everybody thought that was hilarious because, I mean, obviously, the wiener jokes. but, you know, I mean, Wii became a ubiquitous phrase. Like, nowadays, people say Wii, you don't think about that. You think of the Nintendo console because it became so popular.
Right.
So, I mean, they really defied people's expectations with that one.
Yeah.
But the GameCube was originally called Dolphin.
Yeah, I remember that. Well, I mainly know that because of the Dolphin emulator.
Yep. I'm trying to think
good
of
stuff. Other ones.
Wii U was probably something. I don't know.
Well, they all have code names. They all have they all have the project code names.
And they're usually a lot cooler than their actual name.
Like the Natal.
Yep. Well, when I hear Natal, I think of like natal, like baby. Like that's one instance where that doesn't really hold up. I like the name Connect better than Natal, even though Connect isn't that. I mean, it's
flashy.
Whatever.
Yeah. All right.
Speaking of, I mean, Halo 5 is going to show up on the next box, so I guess we can talk about it.
And
we just talked about tangents, so.
Yeah.
One thing that they talked about was the Xbox 720 is going to have mandatory Kinect support. So the next version of Kinect will be, it's going to come with every single Xbox 720 that's purchased. And supposedly you won't be able to even operate your system without the Kinect 2 being on. So it has to be operational on some function.
Well, it's built into the Xbox.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
Well, the thing is, like, where am I going to put it? Like, I get that it's built into the box, but, I mean, what does that mean? I mean...
Yeah, I know.
Because I can't put the Xbox 720, you know, in front of my television or in a spot where it's going to be able to see me, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I have mine behind my monitor that I play in my bedroom. So
anyway, what do you think how do you think Halo is going to utilize Kinect when Halo 5 comes out?
Probably the same way that it did for Anniversary.
I think they'll go deeper. I think I'm not sure they'll do anything with the motion sensing feature.
Like the game mechanics stuff. Yeah, they won't do anything with the motion sensing stuff.
I want to see cool voice control stuff. I want to be able to say
see
things,
squad controls.
Have them happen.
I want to see squad controls, like have someone be able to shout out flank left or something, and it'd be like a visual representation on the screen.
Yeah. Or like some sort of head tracking. I don't know if that would be feasible with Kinect 2, but like being
possibly
able to, like, you know, look over and I don't know if I'd like that or not. If it were optional, like.
Yeah, it would have to be optional.
Yeah.
I could see them something doing like having a mode where you could make poses in the Spartan outfit. It's like it would track your body and you could just like make your own poses and then take snapshots. Seriously.
I know, but I could just imagine the ways that people would like the crazy sort of funny poses that
would. Teabagging would be more hilarious. I would like to see them do that. I would honestly like to see them implement a feature where you can go in and make your own screenshots just with you in your own pose, but in a Spartan outfit, and make it to where two people can do it. Make it to where you can actually teabag somebody, or make it where it's like a mound of people where you can, so the new Kinect is supposed to be able to track six people. Have it where you can stand on a mound of people and have like something that represents a flag and you could like have them the flag on top of it. Have something like that. That would be cool.
So I don't know. I don't know about all this Kinect stuff. Then the rumors that you won't be able to use or buy used games because they won't work. Some sort of locking.
There's a couple of opinions going around there about Microsoft wouldn't want to do this. Microsoft is doing it. I say I'm going to hold off speculation on that until we actually see some more hard details out of the console.
Well, I mean, Sony might even do it, too. I mean, we don't know.
That kills GameStop.
I think right now we know more about Durango, or we think we know more about Durango than we do Orbis. Like, we don't know as much about the PS4 as we do the 720.
No,
based
on
rumors.
Right. All right. Redeem Spartan 05 writes in, "Hey, Podtech, I love the show, and it was good to have G. Lewis back on. My question is, do you think 343 Industries will stay with the loadout system and specializations and ordnance drops for Halo 5? I like the old system better, but I also enjoy the loadout system. I think they should do the opposite of Halo 4, where pro settings are the default with loadouts being just an optional playlist. Although seeing as how they would probably put a lot of time and effort to balance the loadouts, it would probably remain default. Just wanted to get your opinions. Keep on fragging those trucks. The loadout system is here to stay. You can still define a standard loadout, and it's just one loadout that you can use in custom games. and that's essentially your starter set. Loadouts are always going to be in Halo from now on. Specializations, I don't know what they plan to do with that.
I mean, think about it. Did specializations make your Halo experience better? Did you enjoy Halo 4 more because there were specializations?
No. But it didn't break the game either.
But I'm saying, did you enjoy it?
I mean, yeah, I still enjoyed Halo 4 despite their...
No, like, did you enjoy specializations specifically? Did it enhance your experience? Did that added function, that added feature that they deliberately put in the game to try and at least, you know, improve the experience, did it actually do its purpose?
My gameplay style does not really fit to like where I'm playing on a certain squad every time. I could see if you're running with a group of people and you run with them constantly, like if you're in a clan, specializations is the thing for you because you have a person that can go around and has the stability mod. So if they're a sniper or a long range person, they can equip that. You can have someone that has the gunner mod, and if they usually ride a warthog gunner or something like that, then that's definitely what you want to do. And then the one that has where you take less damage in the vehicle, I forget what that one's called, but that would be another one. So if you're running with a team, specializations is very, very much another customization to your play style. And for me, for the specializations, I swap back and forth between the one that makes you reload faster and then the one that gets you the extra grenade. So, yes, I think specializations has been somewhat of a benefit, however minor, to my experience in Halo 4.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah. I'm just saying if...
What about you?
Personally, I don't like it. I like knowing what everybody has at any given time. Like, to me, that was kind of what made Halo a special FPS in its time. You know, Halo 2, it was the idea of the gameplay mechanics being so simplistic that it was fair because it was easy to understand at any given time what people were able to do to you. Like in Halo 2, I never had to consider whether or not the dude driving the Warthog at me had the operator mod and therefore his vehicle took less damage and I couldn't EMP him for as long. You know, I mean, not in Halo. They didn't even have EMP in Halo 2. So,
true.
Yeah, I mean, somebody has the stability mod. You know, when I'm pegging them in the face, I don't know that they got the stability mod. You know, I mean, I can assume if they're hitting me accurately, they might have it, but. You know, if I knew that they had the stability mod, I might not engage them, you know? I might just move on to the next opponent.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, I mean, it didn't break the game for me like Ordnance did. Like, I don't like Ordnance.
Yeah,
weapon placement on maps. I like to know where things are at any given moment. You know, when I start the map, I like knowing where the sniper is and where the rocket is and, you know, where the whatever is and go to it, you know?
For casual games... And for big team games, ordnance drops work. But for the smaller games like the Team Slayer, the Capture the Flag, the King of the Hill, the Regicide, the Oddball, for those 4-on-4, 6-on-6, 5-on-5 games, ordnance is a game breaker.
Yep.
Having it, the ability in customs to use it, I'm perfectly fine with that. Because
the more options you can put in customs, the better.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
But it's something that doesn't exactly belong in matchmaking. Now, with a caveat to that, I don't mind using ordnance drops as constant weapon drops, like having it on a set time limit, then using the ordnance drops in that way. I'm fine with that. But the ordnance drops that you have in matchmaking, they're randomized weapons based on a set list that you can set in your game options, and the time drop, it has a range that drops and it's not always constant. You can set it to where it's going to always be one weapon and it's always going to be constant. You can do that, but with how matchmaking is set up currently, that's not how it's done.
Yep.
That is a kind of a game breaker for the matchmaking system, but it works fine, I'm sure, with custom games. You want to take the last one?
Sure. RJ Diaz says, "Hey Podtax, see you read my epic message about file share needing a hard drive to use. I can confirm that it is very true. I have a 4 gigabyte Xbox 360, and I guess that 4 gigs of space isn't a hard drive. I can't even use theater without a hard drive. Sad face. So I'm going to end it here, and I hope I didn't mess up the flow of the podcast. Battle rifle for the win.
No, you didn't. Yeah, so 4 gigs, not nearly enough. I still want to get... This is actually a question I needed to ask Jess, and I didn't ask her in my last email to her, and she actually didn't respond to my list of questions, which I need to ping her back on that again. It's kind of odd that you can't use theater without a hard drive, with just having the 4 gigabytes, because there's enough space. I mean, a film only takes up maybe, what, 13 megs, depending on how long it is.
It's not very
large.
It's
minimal. It's very minimal. So, I don't know. I'll see if I can get a reason behind that. They probably answered it.
To make you want to go out and buy a hard drive. I don't know. I'm just...
They've probably answered it on the forums as well, so I'll do a little bit of research and see if I can find anything.
That's Microsoft saying, yep. If you really cared, you would have bought a hard drive.
So if they made them reasonably priced, then sure. I wouldn't mind buying a hard drive.
Yeah. But they're outrageous. I mean, because it's Microsoft, all that proprietary hardware that
like
they put out
hard
for
drives,
is
their
outrageous.
Their 250 gig hard drives are $40 to $50 more than commercial hard drives that you can buy and throw into like any laptop. So the form factor for the Xbox hard drives are the same as laptop hard drives. And the hard drives are brand and model specific to the Xbox, and they have their own special format system on there, but they need to take a page out of the PlayStation book and say, okay, you can buy a hard drive and just have utility on the Xbox that formats the hard drive.
Yep.
And heck, if you're worried about people copying stuff on it, encrypt the dang thing. It's not that hard to encrypt a hard drive. And they can even do it on the hardware level. There's hard drives that have crypto modules built into them, and they'll encrypt the hard drive on the hardware level. So take a page out of Sony's book, Microsoft, and make it to where people can buy their own hard drives. Or make them as affordable as regular off-the-shelf hard drives.
I think every time like a Microsoft CEO hears somebody say, you need to be more like Sony, they just look at all of the revenue that they're making off of the Xbox Live Gold and like they're crazy priced. I mean, it's the same way with Sony. Like PS3 controllers aren't cheap, but I mean, it's a problem with every console. All of the first party controllers are always expensive. Like the wireless adapter for 360 when it first came out was like $100. It was like nuts. The new Xboxes have wireless support. Obviously, they have their own adapters.
Yeah, they're built in.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't even think, you know, the Elite has a wireless adapter. I mean, the one I'm using, it wasn't until the shiny black, whatever they called that, the Elite S or whatever.
Oh, the Slim?
Yeah, the Xbox Slim. It wasn't until then that they actually built in the wireless adapter.
Yep.
So, I mean, they like making the cash. I mean, every time somebody says, be more like Sony, they just think of all of that money they're making. They're like, nah, we're doing just fine. You know, and until something changes and our bottom line starts, you know, bottoming out, you know, they're going to do exactly what they're doing. The only thing that's going to cause Microsoft to change their current Xbox plan is if they start losing money. And right now they're making a ton of money. Like the Xbox division of Microsoft is like one of the only divisions that actually routinely makes cash for the company.
Yeah. Well, before, I think they were actually losing like for the first year or two.
Yeah,
and
but
then
they finally had
a good year, and then it just kind of ramped up afterwards.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the same. The Wii didn't have a... Well, that's wrong, but the DS started out real slow, and it went on to become like the best-selling handheld of all time. So, but that first year for DS, back when that... I mean, I don't know if you'd seen it, but the original form factor on that thing, like, it looks stupid. I mean, I had one. But,
oh, I remember. You know, my brother has one of those.
It's just, it looks like UNSC tech, kind of, but if the UNSC didn't know how to, like, make good hardware.
Yeah.
It had, like, but I mean, so even if you put out something that isn't successful in its first year, that doesn't mean it won't go on to become extremely successful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing happened with the 3DS. Like, 3DS, they put it out, it bombed, basically. They dropped it $50, and now, you know, everybody who cares about handhelds has one, and they have a great collection of games coming out this year. So, 3DS is taking over the world. And, I mean, it was kind of funny because when the DS and the PSP were first battling, like, everybody expected the PSP to come out the victor in that battle. You know, because the PSP was just technically better. I mean, the specs were so much better. It was a more powerful system. Like, the games looked better. Their goal with PSP was to create a console experience that you could have in your hands and take around with you. And they did that to a certain extent, but it just wasn't popular. I mean, when people don't really want a console experience on the go.
Yeah, it died out pretty quickly.
And the DS, the DS was able to capitalize on games that you couldn't really play on the console. Like, games that you couldn't possibly ever think about putting out on Wii or 360 or PS3 or whatever. Like, it was a very handheld-centric experience, and that's what made those games great. And, I mean, it's the same thing with 3DS. You know, they're sticking with that philosophy of making extremely fun handheld experiences that you can only really do with a handheld system, instead of just focusing on being a graphical powerhouse. Mm-hmm. And that's why the Vita is, you know, floundering right now. I don't know if they can save the Vita. I hope they do, because it's a cool system. I don't like it. You know, I don't like think to see they any will. Console fail, but right now, you know, it looks like it's going to be about as successful as the original PSP was.
Nintendo has the handheld market for games.
Well,
and
I mean,
that's even being encroached on by the mobile game market.
Yeah, but I'm saying even then, they understand that. Like, occasionally they'll be, like, super passive-aggressive and put out, like, a fake Pokemon app on iOS.
Did you see the Pokemon TV app that got announced this week?
Yep. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not because they need to do that. It's just because it's almost like spiking the football after you score. You know, it's like, they're like, yeah, we're going to put out this thing that people can use to enhance their experience on our handheld. You know, like,
yeah,
like, this isn't something like necessarily, this ain't the main experience. This is to enhance the experience that you can only get on the Nintendo handheld. So screw you, Apple.
I think since we entered the Pokemon realm, it's time to wrap up the show.
Yep. But I mean, we weren't really getting into the realm. I was just
talking
hardware in general and
right.
Companies not caring and Microsoft being in a position where they don't care. I mean, right now what they care about is Xbox 720. That's what they're worried about.
Yeah. So, all right. A couple of things before we wrap up. I want to highlight a show because I listened to this actually a couple weeks ago and I meant to bring it up in the last podcast. I didn't, but the guys over at Drunken Halo, one of the co-hosts over there, Travis, on their 45th episode, which came out about a month ago, they were talking about some tips for matchmaking. He has some very good tips for playing Halo 4 matchmaking, and it's one of the better tip shows that I've heard from any podcast. So that's Drunken Halo. I don't know if we've mentioned them before on our podcast, but they're a little bit different than ours. They're a little bit more freeform, kind of like how we used to be back in the day. We've kind of shapened up a little bit. Gotten a little bit more strict and a little more formal, but these guys are a little bit more free-flowing. But episode 45 of theirs is a very good show to listen to. They get into their tips about in the last half of the show. So if you're looking for some tips in Halo 4 multiplayer, definitely go check that show out. They have some very, very good tips in there regarding war games. So definitely go check that out. Also, I want to start something on this podcast. Hopefully it'll kind of keep the flow of submissions going. And it's going to be a question of the podcast. And we kind of addressed this last time, and it kind of got addressed here in this show. But so the question of the podcast is going to be, and we'll read through responses and kind of talk about it a little bit on the next show. But the question I'm going to pose out is, Would you pay for Spartan Ops Season 2, and how much would you be willing to pay? So, would you like you can do, use money sense, or you can use points. So, 800 Microsoft points is $10 and all that stuff. So, that's the question I challenged everyone out. So, you can send that in as an email or use our voicemail line, which no one has used yet, and we'll tally up all the results and see what people think. So, again, the question is, would you pay for Spartan Ops Season 2, and how much, if you would, how much would you be willing to pay? And we'll talk about that next time. With that said, make sure you go to our homepage. It's podtacular.com. While you're there, you can give us a submission. You can use our green button on the homepage, or you can send us an email directly to submissions@podtacular.com. Also, you can call our listener voicemail 240-200-HALO. That's 240-200-4256, and leave us a Halo-related message. Try to keep it under 2 minutes, about 90 seconds as a target time frame, and we will play that on our next show, or our next bulletin show, let me clarify. You can also follow us on Twitter. You can go to our Facebook page. You can find us on YouTube. We also have, again, our Monday night matchmaking, which happens every Monday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time. That's 1:30 a.m. UTC. That's Britain Time as well. Well, actually, I think, yeah, Britain Time. GBR, or whatever that is.
General British Time, GBT. GBT. I'm just coming up with fake stuff.
Whatever that British time code is.
Greenwich Mean Time.
There we go. Greenwich Mean Time. That's what I was going for. GMT. All right. Thank you, Brent. And I believe that wraps up the show for this one. We will see you guys next time. Peace.
Keep on fragging wireless adapters.
Keep on fragging Xbox rumors.